We are 1 year to Worlds in the land down under.
Yep, and today we are heading down under with a fantastic Aussie guest. Let's do it.
It's showtime. This is The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast, and your one and only source for all things show skiing, bringing you news, knowledge, and interviews with the legends and stars of our sport. Here are your hosts, Matt Heilman and Adam Schaller.
Welcome to the Ski Show Podcast, the only media on the planet dedicated to the great sport of show skiing. It seems crazy that it's March and excitement has never been higher in the sport. Think Tank was absolutely incredible. Excitement for Worlds is ramping up as Team Canada has recently named their team. Team Australia is wrapping up their summer season. And Team USA has just had their spring training practice. It's a brand new ski season here before we know it, and there's lots to talk about today.
Yep, and today's sponsors are Flyman Skis, custom-made jump skis, and Featherboard Swivel Skis at affordable prices. Get yours at flymanskis.com and by Swivulator, the swivel training device you need to help you learn on land without taking all the falls on the water. Check out swivulator.com. And by The Board Shop, all your summer and winter sports gear can be found at bswake.com.
Great sponsors. Speaking of Swivulator, they had a huge presence at Think Tank. They're stocked with their training units ready to help you take your swivel skiing to the next level.
That's right. And these aren't just off-season training devices. Using a Swivulator regularly can help save you from painful falls on the water and help you progress faster in the sport of swivel.
Yeah, land work is essential, whether it's in the winter or before you take to the water as a warm-up. Swivulators are helping the best skiers in the sport advance their skills. You need to check them out at swivulator.com. That's swivulator.com. Adam, we're recording this on the eve of spring break, but this podcast actually drops during spring break. I think half of the world is descending on Winter Haven, Florida, the same week altogether. Team USA has one of their final two trainings before Worlds. It's actually crazy. We've got spring practice. We've got 2 days at spring break, 2 days after Nationals, and that's it till Worlds. Like, we aren't together again until Worlds.
Yeah, and well, it's half of our world that's descending on Winter Haven, Florida during spring break. And yeah, that's the crazy thing about Team USA and Worlds is the limited amount of time we all actually have together, which is it is the biggest challenge, putting together a cohesive under 60-minute ski show, both on stage and on the water. So we have to be super productive. Ready to go, ready to hit the water, you know, as soon as everybody arrives at practice.
Yeah, and the bigger challenge for us this year too is that we're coming off of winter. Typically, when Worlds is in September or October, skiers are in peak form. They're coming off their summer season. They're ready to rock. Now we're coming off a layoff of winter, and we got to get back at it in a short amount of time. So that'll be a challenge. Some industry news. It's not really news for many of you, but we haven't shared it on the podcast yet. Connelly Skis, as we know, is no longer going to be making jump skis. But one of our very own show skiers, Austin Wahlstad, and his buddy Cole Nelson have bought the molds and the presses and the design of Connelly Skis, and they're going to continue to make jump skis under a new name and a new brand called Legacy Skis. Exciting stuff in the ski industry, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? We've got more skiers now stepping in. They bought the molds. They bought the presses. They're shipping them from the West Coast to the Midwest, and you know, Legacy Skis. Austin was there, and Cole at Think Tank with a booth. They're already selling swag, and they're going to be producing skis as soon as Connelly finishes their final batch, and then they'll be passing the baton to Legacy Skis.
Yeah, super cool that we have these ski companies run by show skiers. Like, we talk about all of our advertisers and sponsors on this podcast, and it is so exciting that we've got our people in our sport involved at this level in the marine industry and the ski industry. Cool stuff. Congrats to Austin and Cole. It'd be exciting to see where things head in the coming days, months. We'll see where we're going. But congrats to Legacy Skis. Adam, it's time for show ski trivia. And with an Aussie on the show today, today's trivia is again about the World Tournament. Now, before, I had asked you about the best male and female skiers at the World Tournament, but today is about teams. And what I want to ask you is,
who won? I know that.
You do?
Yes, Team
USA.
Who
won Worlds? Team USA
has won.
So Team USA has won every World Tournament, 12, 14, 16, 18. We know 20 was off, and then 22. What I want to ask you is, who took second? Do you know how the other countries have performed and how that's actually morphed a little bit over time? That's the point of this question, is that has changed a little bit over time.
Mm. Well, Germany won, or not won. They got second in 24.
22. Correct. 22. Germany was second place. Now, that had a smaller, Australia did not compete in 2022.
Correct. Yep.
Yep.
Did Australia take second at the rest of them?
Not quite. So Australia took second in 20. If we're working our way back, 2018, they took second in 2016. 2014, they took second place. And in 2012, they did not. Team Australia actually took fourth place in the first Worlds in 2012.
Then I'm going to say Canada took second in 2012.
Canada took third. Interestingly, they had, if you remember, a no-fall show in 2012.
Well, good for them.
Not the That's difficulty, awesome. You know, obviously, that of Team USA, for instance, but amazing, like stand-up killer show.
Right.
They took third.
Well, then there's only Belgium or China, right?
Yeah.
Belgium, second.
China took second place in 2012. They did. So Team USA had 2,095 points in 2012. Team China was second with 1,556. Canada was third with 1,505. Close there. But after that first Worlds, then Australia has been second place at all the ones that they've participated in. Mm-hmm. And this last one, they did not bring a team. They just brought individuals. Germany was a surprise second place at the last Worlds. So,
But now we're going to be on their home turf, and they're going to be coming off of summer.
100%.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Sure. So great stuff. So that is today's show ski trivia. You know, Adam might struggle with show ski trivia a little bit, but one company who's not struggling is the Board Shop. You need summer water sports gear, they've got it. You need winter sports gear, they've got it. They're having closeout sales right now on their winter gear. Get stocked up for next year.
Yeah, they are fully stocked for summer, Matt. And it's March, fully stocked for summer. The latest apparel, skis, vests, bindings and boards, all the top brands like Radar, Ronix, Liquid Force, Follow, and more, all the great brands you love. Water ski season is here in full force, and the Board Shop has everything that you need.
Yeah, they also have flight boards. Those are catching on. They sell flight boards. They have stand-up paddle boards, wake surf boards, handles, ropes, all the gear you need for a great summer season. Visit their shop in Lake Geneva or shop online at bswake.com. That's bswake.com.
All right, time to get to our featured interview today. We have one of the top skiers in all of Australia. He's been a consistent star for Team Australia. He's one of the top freestyle jumpers in the sport, and he's only getting better. Let's welcome to the show today, Jacob Horton. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
Very good, man.
What's going on, Jake? Thanks for being here.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you on the show today. You know, we've had a couple of Aussie guests. One in particular, we had Brett Wing on the show long ago. That was fantastic. We had a fake Aussie and Matt May on the show a couple times. yeah, we're excited to have you on and talk about your skiing career and where things are at. Talk a little Team Australia and Worlds and all the things. But take us back. How did you get started in skiing and in show skiing as a kid? What did that look like?
Yeah, so I started skiing at the age of two. So mum and dad got me on the water, had a background in skiing. Dad grew up as a kid skiing. He actually grew up socially skiing back here and then moved into tournament skiing because that was all that was sort of around at the time. And then into a bit of barefooting and then just socially skied through his sort of 20s to late 20s. And then when we came along as kids, he got us straight on the water. So I started at two and then we didn't join show ski until I think 2003. So I actually didn't work out how old I was then, but probably somewhere around 10.
Adam, I love that term, social skiing.
I was going to ask, we call him, like, what is he talking about?
Well, yeah, I think it's, we call them weekend wallies, recreational skiers.
Yes.
They call it socially skiing.
Socially skiing. Okay.
That might be a more acceptable term for us here in the States.
I am a social skier.
Social skier. Yeah.
We definitely have some weekend wallies out there, but yeah, I would claim being a social skier for a while.
Yep. That's great.
That's awesome. So you got started show skiing in 2003. How did you get from where you were in 2003 to where you are today? You know, walk us through the evolution of Jake Horton in show skiing and the different disciplines that you like, so on and so forth.
Yep. So, yeah, we joined the club in 2003. I think it was just, Dad had got to the point where he taught us majority what he could do, and then to go outside of that and to continue the fun family sport. My sister wasn't super involved at that stage. She skied at the age of two as well, but then lost a bit of interest. So we joined the club to sort of hopefully kickstart that and continue to ski as a family. 2006, we went over to Korea and actually skied in a place called Gusong in Korea, did some paid travel shows. So that was sort of the start of the travel shows as well, 3 years later, which was really cool. We spent 3 weeks over there, split the team up into, I think, three teams, 3 to 4 weeks there. Yeah, we did basically a three-month contract, so we just did one section of it, and then it just kept rolling on from there. We've been able to do heaps of international travel stuff because there's not a huge show ski sort of sector in Australia and not a huge amount of paid shows either. So 2008, we went to Singapore. We've been back there a couple of times. We've done shows for the International Water Festival. That was actually in that bay where the Merlion is in Singapore, and it was originally salt water. And then when we went back in 2011, I think, we did some shows there for the F1 boat racing. They had closed that bay off and it was now freshwater. So that was a spin out to go there and ski in at saltwater at one stage and then come back a few years later and ski in some freshwater. But a beautiful place to ski and a beautiful place to travel. In between that, we did our first stint in America. So once we sort of learnt our show ski background with the club over here, we sort of once again got to those limits of what people around us knew or could teach us. Dad used to travel a lot for work, and he was sitting in an airport one day and thought, you know, the next opportunity is the States. So what have they got over there? Jumped on Google, brought up the USA Water Ski website, and then found a list of 72 teams, I think he said at the time. So he was literally that cold caller who wrote out an email, with a bunch of photos. It's probably like 2 pages long, I think. Sent it off, and I think 4 teams got back to him from memory. I think one of them might have been the Cypress Gardens or Sarasota team. I can't remember who the 2 others were, and then the final one was Backwater, and they all thought it was a joke. I think it sat there for a few weeks, and then finally someone sort of brought it up to the board and said, hey, I've got this. What do you think we should do? And they said, get back to them, jump on board, and they did that. And, yeah, we're super grateful for that opportunity.
And you guys have spent a lot of time with Backwater, you know, in the years following that. You guys have made a nice connection. You were able to spend time with them, you know, prior to Worlds in 12 and 14, correct?
Yes, yeah. So I went that time in 2009. We spent 9 weeks there. One of the families put us up, so we stayed with them and yeah, just fell in love with it, fell in love with the team, and basically went back. We planned on going back every second year, and in between that sort of Worlds happened. But, yeah, we went back in 2011, did the same regionals, nationals, sort of that part of the whole season. And then 2012, we came back because of Worlds. So we went there, and Backwater took Australia on as the home team. And we trained there for a few weeks before, and then just continued that every second year all the way through until Canada was the year that we didn't go. We just all flew straight over to Canada.
So you had some experience with, you know, show tournaments and the scoring and all of that prior to 2012, right?
So we definitely had a bit of a background there and a bit of experience and helped the Aussie team out. We'd also just started our Australian show ski national. So after our trip in 2009, sort of came back to Australia and thought we've got to get something going over here. And there'd been talk about it. There was only 3 teams in Australia at the time, still is, but yeah, so that sort of kicked that off as well. And we run basically a modified version. It's pretty much the same as what's the world version of the rules has become now. So, 2011, I think, was our first Australian nationals. And that was, a good preparation for everyone coming into Worlds for 2012.
Well, I've known your dad, you know, I've gotten to know him a little bit on the IWWF Show Ski Council. He's now the Show Ski Council chair. He does an awesome job at that. And I've known him as someone who's always soaking up knowledge, making connections, wanting to learn more about the sport. Like, the show skiing is in his blood. It's in your family's blood. And the interest and passion is so deep. And I love that about you guys. I mean, you've got, so talk about that family passion for show skiing. You got your dad, your sister Zoe's a phenomenal skier. Like, you guys are all in. Your mom's done. She judged at one of the Worlds. Right?
Yeah. So it's a full family sport for us. We're definitely a big promoter of, I think, show skiing's the best family sport there is. I'll happily debate that with anyone. I don't think there's a sport where the whole family can be involved like we are show skiing. Like, it just doesn't happen anywhere. We've been in a lot of sports, so we're super lucky. The first world competition, all 4 of us, so me, my sister, mum and dad, all got to ski in the team. And then going on from that, mum's judged at each one of the worlds. She didn't judge at 2020, which didn't happen, and then didn't judge in Florida either. She was actually staying home looking after my kids and her other grandkids. Mum's been heavily involved in the judging and the Australian nationals, and then dad's super passionate about show skiing, been heavily involved in the IWWF side, and is the chairman at the moment for show skiing. He's the chairman on the Australian side as well for Show Ski Australia. So it's definitely in our blood, and it's what we're super passionate about. Zoe loves swivel skiing. Her little girls are now getting into the sport. her oldest Jordan, we just had up on her first little three-tier pyramid the other day. She's just turned three, so there was a few photos floating around from that.
But 3 years old, and she's on it. 3 years old. She's on the top of a three high.
Yep.
Holy crap!
Training for worlds.
Yeah. That is young. I don't. Yeah. I don't know if I've heard of that, a 3 year old on the top of a three tier. Is that a record?
I heard it first here on the podcast.
Yeah. Wow.
Jake, I got to ask, since now the podcast is on YouTube and everybody can see us, what are all the medals behind you?
Yeah.
So they're just a combination of worlds and the Australian nationals over here and a bit of tournament skiing as well. So I've had all the medals, just they used to sit on a coat hanger and hang on the back of my office chair, and my wife was getting annoyed at every time we're in the office and I move around on the chair, they would jingle. And I said to her, I was like, well, we've got to do something with them. I got the bib up in the middle. As soon as we got back from 2022 Worlds and I got the bib, I said to her, right, we're gonna frame something, we'll put all the medals around it. And then unfortunately I broke my one ski jumper just after Christmas time. Must have been all the extra Christmas food. And we had a spot on the wall. So she was like, well, why don't you just hang everything off there nice and easy and we'll stick it up in the office. So
does the job. It looks great. You know, as you grew up in the sport, obviously your family played a big role. Who are your other mentors and coaches growing up? Like who helped you get to where you are today as a skier?
Yeah, so definitely mum and dad. Obviously, dad's a great skier, still making the world's team at 63, so just can't beat that. But he got to his limit there, and that's why we started heading elsewhere. But Backwater Gamblers, really the whole USA sort of show ski side there as well, we wouldn't be where we are if we hadn't gone over there and seen firsthand what you guys do and where show skiing could take us. So once we saw that, it was a lot of YouTube. I was pestering people over there for videos all the time, just because we don't have that coaching, or we definitely didn't at the time back here. So lots and lots of YouTube, reaching out to a few people and getting videos. And then I've really only had a few people that have properly coached me through some tricks where I've been really stuck. Funnily enough, Two Ski Fronts was one of those. I just beat my head against a brick wall for 12 or 18 months on front flips. And Robbie Knowles from Mulwala was over at the time, and he jumped in the boat and helped me out there. So big thanks to Robbie as well. And then the last one would have been back halves. So Matty May came over. He actually gave me his back half ski because he wasn't riding it at the time. I was running a homemade one. So he left me with that, and then did some video coaching over sort of 12 months so we could try and do a double back half together, which we would have loved to pull off, but wasn't quite there.
Yeah, that's all right. That's exciting. And for our listeners that listen to this podcast regularly, what Jake said is super important, because we talk to all these superstars and the best skiers in the sport, and Jake is one of those. He's doing back halves, and he is a phenomenal freestyle jumper, one of the best in the world. And he said it took him 12 to 18 months to make two ski flips. Like, that trick gave him trouble. And we think that all these great stars, it comes natural, and that it's just easy, and that they are today because they've got all this natural God-given ability, and they do, but no, man, it's the work that you put in, right? Like that 12 to 18 months on two ski flips, that is important for people to hear the what it takes to be great.
Yeah, 100%. And that, you know, we get to ski year round, so that was at least a set a week. I was really struggling, and you got to look outside the box for some different opinions, or sometimes one technique doesn't work for you. Sometimes the technique that you think you have in your head that you want to portray, like I wanted to do dead straight front flips, like a Jerry comes to mind, like Jerry Lighting, like off the top. But that wasn't the style that was going to work for me. So yeah, you've got to be willing to take that advice and try something different, talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it, you know, it's for people listening, like if you hit roadblocks, if you hit struggles, keep working through it, because there's brighter days ahead. And you look at where Jake has gone. And, you know, Adam, as we talk with one of the top freestyle jumpers in the game today, we also need to talk about one of our sponsors, Flyman Skis. They've got their honeycomb skis ready to take 2024 by storm. These guys are doing awesome things.
Yeah, and they also make one of the best swivel skis on the market, the Featherboard Swivel Ski, ridden by many great skiers today like Bree Imsey, Maddie Hageman, and Aussies like world champion Alicia Stewart. You can get the standard skis, or you can design your own custom skis that don't look like anyone else's.
No, don't wait any longer to get yours. So many skiers have made the move to Flyman, and you should too. And if you're listening in Australia, Flyman Skis has no problem shipping to you, and they've actually got pretty good rates, especially on group orders. So get your jump skis and your swivel skis at flymanskis.com. That's flymanskis.com. So let's dive into that a little bit more about, you know, you mentioned the back half. Talk about your love for freestyle and when that developed, when you started learning some of these. So how old were you when that front flip struggle came? And, you know, when did that love for freestyle kick in for you?
Yeah, the love for freestyle was definitely 2009 when we came over. I actually, funnily enough, it was the Mad City show and freestyle that year. I think freestyle had just come back in to nationals that year. So we got to see Paul O'Connor do that magic run. I heard the stories that he'd only like just learned Mobes, you know, that season. So yeah, we got to be there and be a part of that and watch that, the quick change, three jumps. So that sort of set itself apart, and yeah, that was it. So I already had a set of jump skis. We were actually jumping with Backwater at the time. I think I just learned helis. So we had Charlie Newlands come over, 2007, so 2 years before, him and his now wife Jenna came over to Australia to ski at SeaWorld, and they ended up spending a couple of weeks with us over in WA, the opposite side of Australia there. So he bought some jump skis over, and I'd been over a couple of times before, but he taught me how to do helis. So we did some helis there, and then yeah, once I saw what could be done over in the US in 2009. That started everything off, and I just kept moving on from there. I learnt helis. I actually collected up a bunch of skis because we didn't have really any jump skis back in Australia and didn't know anyone that jumped outside of three event jumping. So I got a set of 64-inch jumpers, and I bought Dave Raisin's old one ski at the time. Uh-huh. Took those back home.
I'm sure Dave gave you a great price on that ski.
$3,500 used.
I can't actually remember it. It was a good price at the time, actually, because the bindings were probably worth that. But yeah, he sold me his one ski and then actually helped out a fair bit over email and a couple of videos. And I said to him, I was like, this is what I want to do. And at the time, I could only do helis. And he was like, well, if you can do a flip, just do a gainer. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not really comfortable doing that. I'm going to learn rideovers. And he's like, you're crazy. He's like, no way. And I pushed through lots of crashes, but learned rideovers. Then not too long after that, learned one ski helis and then basically did all the tricks backwards. But I was sending Dave videos and he was just shaking his head.
That's awesome. And so now you've got the whole arsenal of one ski tricks. Do you go backwards? Do you do one ski gainers now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
so yeah, all the way
and then the back halves, how are those going? And did Matt May taught you those? Talk about that process of moving your way up to doing back halves.
Yeah. So I started by myself originally. We talked about in the US a couple of times with a bunch of different people in the freestyle jump competitions, like bringing back the back halves. Mm-hmm. Someone will have to make skis. So we've been doing a lot of asking around to see what we could get done and just we just couldn't get a big enough group of people together at the time. No one would do them. So I was like, well, I'm done. I'll do it myself. So I went out and made a homemade back half ski and started the process there. Actually learned 180s first and got the 180s down because I was like, there's no use trying to land a trick when you can't do the finish of the trick. So I learned 180s, and then that started the process of trying to get the back half skis made again, because trying to do a really nice edged cut to the ramp on a ski that doesn't have the correct rocker in it just always felt super uncomfortable. So that started my talks again, started my talks with Matt, and then eventually it led to Connolly building the skis, but Matt lending me his ski as well. So as soon as I got that, it definitely helped cement the trick. It was a lot easier with the genuine ski and Matt's awesome coaching.
Did you give Matt's ski back to him, or do you still have that?
I actually still have it, but there's a bit of a story around it. So I had it. We were coming into our Australian Nationals, which were over here in WA at the time in 2019, and Matt came over for it. We were both in freestyle together, and he went before me, and it was really rough, like white caps on the water. And Matt actually broke the ski. So he, second jump, I think, landed really hard, straight into the rollers, and the ski just folded in half. So it's in my shed at the moment at home. I keep having to take it back to Matt's, but I just haven't been over to Queensland for a little while. So it's currently sitting in the shed at home. It definitely needs to be hung up somewhere. But
you convinced Connolly to finally start making some more. How was that process? That took a while, huh?
Yeah, so that took us 4 years. So I think lots of talking to them. I reached out a bunch of times and didn't really get much of a response. It wasn't until I talked to Dan Olsen and Matt, and I think both of those guys, the support from those guys sort of getting me a couple of contacts at Connolly helped a lot. Once we started the conversation, then everything just sort of rolled on from there. But it was still a really lengthy process because they'd actually thrown away the mold. So in a clean out that they had, they got rid of it. So they didn't have the mold. They didn't have any CAD drawings, no specs of the ski at all. So I got Matt's ski, which I had over here, and took it to a place that my dad worked with closely that did laser scanning. So we laser scanned Matt's ski, made sure everything was nice and true, drew it up on CAD, sent that to Connolly, and then just lots of backwards and forwards, making sure that we had everything how we wanted it, lining up plates in the ski, and then, yeah, Connolly eventually said, okay, we're able to do this. So I'd been holding on to a video for about 12 months of me landing some back halves, and Matt kept pestering me to put it out there. He's like, you've got to show everyone. I was like, no, there's a time for it. And that was the time. So we put a post out to say that Connolly would do it. We knew that the video would grab everyone's attention. And then it was just the process of we ended up getting 30 guys that were willing to put their hand in their pocket and help the sport out and buy a ski, which was enough for us to get Connolly to remake the mold and pump out 30 skis. So,
which is awesome, because there's exactly three or four guys making back halves in the world, but 30 some odd own skis.
Yeah. So yeah, they're out there, and I definitely try and keep an eye on who's got what. So there was a lot of guys that just honestly bought one because they wanted it to go ahead. A couple of the older show skiers, I won't sort of name any names, but a lot of guys reached out and said, what's it going to cost? I'm in. I want to help progress the sport and get it back to where it was. So just heaps of thanks to those guys that did that. A couple of people bought two skis just so we could get enough numbers. And because we didn't know if we were ever going to, Connolly was going to ever press another set. So it was just a one in all in sort of thing.
Wow. That's a good story, man. Well done. Let's dive into the world tournament. How many years have you been on Team USA, at Worlds. Have you been at
Team
all?
Team Australia, you mean, Adam.
Team Australia. Brad, you need to edit that out. Team
There's
Australia.
One for the blooper reel.
Jeez. Sorry, man.
It would be an honor to be on Team USA as well. It would be great to be able to ski. I've got so many friends on the team. It would be really cool because, yeah, it's an amazing performance you guys put on each and every time. But, unfortunately, no stints on Team USA. Very fortunate to have been on every one of the Australian Worlds teams. So 2012 all the way through, and I'm going to claim it because I skied. So 2022, even though we didn't have a team and it was really, really hard to go there and sort of just sit as a spectator. Single Worlds I've been at.
Congrats to you. That's awesome. What's been super cool for us to watch is the growth of the talent in your country and your shows. Like Adam and I talked about this at the beginning of this episode. We went through some of the results of past Worlds, and in 2012, China took second. You guys actually took fourth, and then you took second place every time you competed thereafter. And that seeing the growth and trajectory of your shows and your productions, your talent has been super cool. Talk about that kind of within your country.
Yeah, so definitely a massive amount of growth. I think 2012, we didn't even have 35, so we actually used some drivers and observers from Backwater, which was amazing, especially because we didn't have a twin rig at the time over here. None of the teams did. So I think a lot of people were a bit unsure on what to expect. So we only had a very small team, but every year after that, just we've had inundated with applications. And then once people go over there and see what can be done and see the US team, the potential is there. They just, yeah, it's just taken off. So a lot more people, we've got a lot more coaching over here as well. So a lot of people have taken the time out to coach, and it's a long flight from here to the East Coast. So we're 4 hours, 5 hours from sort of Mulwala and the Melbourne team, Southern Waters, but lots of video coaching going on and lots of young kids coming up, seeing where they can go with show skiing. So that's definitely driven a lot of people. The team has a lot of fun as well. Pete and Brutus have been the show directors since that 2014 Worlds team, and they do an amazing job. Pete's one of the funniest guys I think I've ever met. So the shows that he writes and his show process to write the shows, you guys will definitely have to have Pete on and talk to him about that, because yeah, there's quite a funny story in how he goes about all that. But it's always a fun show to be in and a fun show to be around, especially when they're practicing lines.
Well, I think it's definitely watching past Team Australia shows, it's Team Australia that pushed the U.S. I mean, because the U.S. kind of early on was all about just let's go out and put on a phenomenal ski show on the water. Stage kind of took a back seat, but it was Australia's stage show that has really kind of pushed Team USA to amp up its production, because you guys do a great job on stage.
Yeah. We sort of, I think the team realized that we weren't going to get there with the skiing talent, even though we have a very talented group of people. It's hard to beat, you know, a trifecta over the jump and that sort of thing. So we just needed to amp it up on the stage and show side, and we had the people there and the announcers there and the group of people to do it. So it was a heavy focus on that show side of things, and it definitely has always paid off.
You guys, you know, talk a little bit about the disappointment with 2020 Worlds getting canceled with, you know, COVID, a global pandemic, and then that really for you guys kind of spilling into 2022 and not bringing a team to Worlds. What was that kind of whole, you know, couple year process like for you guys and the disappointment that followed that tournament getting canceled in 2020?
Yeah, so it was definitely soul crushing, that one. So many people have put countless hours and time and effort. The the Mawaela water ski crew and their whole organizing committee. It was heartbreaking. So, and to have it happen so close to the event, it was really hard to come back from. And I think it's still one of those things that sits in the back of people's minds. Hopefully having the next Worlds and we can run a nice smooth tournament and everyone will enjoy themselves and get that monkey off our back. But yeah, people were pretty crushed having the quick pack up and then just the lead into COVID from there. So a lot of the team were made up of young, you know, like 28 to 36 year olds that had put their life on hold. Like myself and my wife, we just got married at the start of that year and we held off having kids or trying until we got through Worlds, just so that we could get through there with sort of no distractions or not have to try and wrangle being pregnant. And I know there was three or four other members of the team that were the same. So to go into COVID, that sort of led into all those skiers then focusing back on personal lives and doing that for the 2 years following. And then we were still dealing with some pretty heavy COVID restrictions, not being able to fly coast to coast when Worlds was coming up. It's obviously we've got to fly all the way over there. You guys would have seen from the last time the process and the amount of effort it takes to go sort of north to south with Worlds. So we always have a 18 to 2 year organizing period, and we just weren't sure if we were going to have COVID restrictions lifted by then or if we could go to the US, but we were going to look like we were doing 2 weeks isolation coming back. So that means like a 6 week holiday period for people, and it just wasn't going to work out. So unfortunately, we couldn't pull a team together. And then when restrictions did lift, it was too late to do anything. So it was individuals only. But now that we've got it back in Australia, I think that'll get everyone motivated again. And coming out of Australia in 2025, the team will be back into Worlds again.
Yeah, you guys got to be excited because you haven't competed at Worlds since 2018. So as of when this podcast comes out, we're 1 year out from Worlds in Australia in 2025. So that's been 7 years. Like, you guys got to be jacked. I mean, just like, let's get back on the water. Let's do this. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. I think everyone's pretty motivated. We're just about 4 days away from flying over to Mawaela. We've got a Worlds team training camp over there, and they're going to look at sort of selecting the team. We've got a team of 55 at the moment for the training camp, which is the first time Australia's ever done that, rather than just selecting a team straight away. So we're about to go into that training camp, and it'd be good to get back and ski with everyone and get motivated for Worlds 2025.
Will Matt May be at the training camp?
Matt May's name is on the list, so we'll have to wait and see.
It's on the list.
He is on the list. Well, that's great. So I want to just ask you briefly, with your experience, you know, spending time with the Backwater Gamblers, being in the U.S., watching the various Worlds, how is show skiing different? Like, for our audience, if the majority of our listeners are in the U.S., how is show skiing different in Australia than it is in the U.S.?
Size is the biggest thing straight off the bat. I'm not sure how many teams you guys have over there now. Like I said, in 2009 when Dad reached out, I think there was 72 teams. So I can only imagine there's more than that now, but we have three teams in Australia. So it's very small. Our teams are sort of around that 100 member mark or less. I'd definitely say Mawaela would have around 100, and we would probably be floating around the 70 or 80. Southern's probably a little bit smaller than that from what we get to see at Nationals, but we only have our Nationals every 2 years, so it's a bit like Worlds just because of the travel distance. Like I said, it's a four-hour flight for us to get to Melbourne. It's 2 days driving non-stop in the car, so it's a big effort every time we hold a Nationals, and that's why we hold them on the off year to Worlds. And then I think size is mainly just because of population as well. Like, you guys have 13 times the people that we have. So, yeah, just that whole size, geographically, the effort that it takes. Show skiing's just a lot smaller, but probably a lot tighter knit group over here. And, yeah.
Cool.
Well, Jake, what's in store for you in the future? What are you doing? What are you working
on? Goals?
Yeah.
Still got a few goals. I'd really like to. It's been a few years. I'd like to get some mobes under my belt. I've sort of held off. It's always running into either our nationals or the US nationals or worlds. So, some back halves and some front halves. So some mobes, some front halves. A few more things with the back halves. I'm pretty jealous watching Pete skiing at Legoland there, doing some back half combinations with other guys on the ramp. That's one thing I want to tick off the list. So keep working through those. But my daughter, she's just turned 3. I've got my sister's daughter, my little niece Jordan as well. She's 3, and they're starting to do a lot of skiing. They're really getting into it. So we've been doing a lot of skiing with the girls. It's probably taken, my skiing's taken a bit of a backseat because I'm enjoying skiing with them more than enjoying throwing myself off the ramp and hurt myself. So they've probably taken the limelight there. We actually skied our 2023 nationals. Both my daughter and Jordan, my niece, got to ski in nationals with us. So we did baby conventionals. Yeah, so it's really, really a lot of skiing with the girls and a lot of family skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, with those young girls, I think you have a lot of boat driving in your future.
Oh, lots of swivel in my future. We had Shauna over here. Yeah, we had Shauna over here just recently and Angela, and they ran a Naughty Girl at our home lake, and all three of the girls were just glued to the beach. Getting on the swivel ski, doing the dry land practice, dancing, wanted costumes and headbands on. So I think there's thousands of hours of me sitting in the boat at 2000 RPM, just listening to that drone.
That's life of a girl dad. Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to show ski life as a girl dad. That is awesome. Well, Jake, this has been phenomenal. It's so cool to hear about your history. The passion you and your family have for the sport, your goals, Team Australia. Thanks for doing this, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've listened to every one of the podcasts, so yeah, it'd be hard to listen to myself, but yeah, appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, Jake.
Well, that was fun. Jake is such a star in this sport, and it's cool to connect with stars from other countries. You know, we know our own stars here in the United States, but we've seen and watched Jake from afar, saw him compete in individual freestyle at the last Worlds. Man, it's going to be fun to see where this guy takes off over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get a chance here in about a year. We'll be over there and we will be seeing him in person on his home turf. So that's going to be fun.
Yep. Jake was episode 99 of the Ski Show podcast.
99.
That means our next episode is 100. Like
100th.
Still boggles my mind that we started this in April of 2020 in COVID, and we're 100 episodes in. It's crazy.
And we're still doing it. That's what boggles my mind. It's like, holy smokes.
I mean, I think we're stuck now. Like at least with the award show, that is. I mean, we've gotten messages all week, Adam and I have, from people just appreciative of the awards, talking about how influential actually the awards are to them or their team, to the sport. And that's so cool for us to hear. Like, you never think or feel or understand what that's going to do. And it's just added a layer of excitement. Like, we're in March and people are pumped for the season. So we're excited to have our 100th episode coming up. We hope you guys are too, and we thank you guys for all tuning in.
Matt, do you think we're gonna run out of guests? I mean, is that a thing where we've interviewed everybody? Is that possible?
No, we still have more old-time legends. We still have, there's going to be always going to be rising stars and new people. That as the sport continues to grow, there's going to be more. And then more stuff, like we did the history of the chain skimmers. We've had requests to do history of other teams, right? Like you and I talked, we want to do the Manaquabats.
Yes.
The history of the
Manaquabats. Let's throw that out there. We want to do Manaquabats.
We do. That's
the history of the Manaquabats. Absolutely.
That's coming soon. So awesome stuff. Thank you to our sponsors today. Thank you to Flyman Skis. Get your custom-made jump skis and featherboard swivel skis at affordable prices at flymanskis.com. To the Board Shop, located in Lake Geneva, all your summer and winter board sports gear is yours at bswake.com. And the Swivulator, taking your swivel game to the next level with an awesome training device. Check out swivulator.com.
And of course, thanks again to all of our listeners. This is Matt and Adam, and this is The Ski Show.
Thank you for listening to The Ski Show, the ultimate show ski podcast with Matt and Adam. If you have questions or ideas for the show, find us on social media or message us at theskishowpodcast@gmail.com.